The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. And when he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your spirit upon us. Light our hearts, our imagination on fire. Teach us what is your will, so that it may be done. Amen.
Raise your hand if you have a visceral response to this gospel reading. Like, you're just like, ugh. Okay, I've probably never said this in church, but you're all a bunch of liars. Come on, there's no one in this world who reads this gospel and doesn't have some kind of response if you listen to it. Okay? Now, that may be the issue right there, right? They may not be listening to it. Yeah, I don't know, what do you gotta do? But it used to, when I first started preaching on it, I spent a fair amount of time focusing on this idea that this sense of unfairness, you know, that somehow or another, those folks who had worked all day long and toiled away in the heat, you know, somehow or another, they deserve more than the folks who showed up at the last minute, by no fault of their own, I remind you, it's just nobody had hired them. So there's that sense of unfairness. You know, those of us who work and, you know, slave away, and I'm sure somebody does, and, you know, deserve more. I mean, that's just kind of, it's the American way, you know. You lift yourself up by your bootstraps and you forge on and, you know, life hands you what you deserve. First of all, anybody who knows me knows I hate the word deserve. Because if we really got what we deserved, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. Recently, I was reading this gospel, in fact, earlier this week, and it struck me, wow, what a waste of money. Think about it. He could have gotten just as much, the landowner could have gotten just as much work done for far less money, because the folks who showed up at the last hour, they were not expecting a full day's wage. They were expecting a portion of a full day's wage, working its way down or its way up to those who had worked the full day. So there's just, you know, it's the finance major in me. It's the ex-stockbroker in me that says, wow, that just seems like a real waste of resources. And then there's probably the third response, which is kind of, oh, isn't that nice? You know, he's sharing, he's helping people out. And yes, he's a landowner, so we can work on the assumption of him in this time and place that this was taking place. But in some ways, those are so all completely and utterly off the mark. And that's why Jesus tells us the story, right? Because if Jesus tells us a parable, there's got to be some kind of aha, or at least shock moment. Otherwise, why would he waste his time telling us something we already know? So what is the point of this somewhat odd story? It rests in that very soon up at the beginning of the parable is the kingdom of heaven is like, or can be compared to, depending on translations. The idea being that we're not talking about a daily wage. The idea being that we're not talking about, you know, some denarii that we earned for working in a vineyard. We're talking about being the recipients of God's grace, of God's love, of God's blessing. And like I said, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in a peck of trouble. But Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of God is not like the world of humans. The world of humans operates in this place of scarcity. That if I have it, I've got to hang on to it with this like death grip so that I don't lose it. Because who knows if I'll get more? I mean, I don't even care what more is. If I got it, I want it, and you don't get it because you didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, it's all mine, and ugh. That's the model, quite frankly, on which the world we operate in operates. I mean, that may sound like an exaggeration, but quite frankly, I think if you think about some conversations you may have had this week, or some news you may have watched, or something you may have read on the internet or on the paper, if anybody actually reads the paper anymore, that is the way the world operates. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. You know, it's about land and resources. Really, there's quite enough for everybody. But it's mine. I'm going to keep it. And if I have to kill you to keep it, that's a possibility. That is living in a world of scarcity. It is not living in God's world. The world of God, the world of Jesus, is a world that operates from a place of abundance, that understands that God's grace, God's love, God's blessing is so lavishly heaped upon us that we have no option but to become a conduit for it and to share it. It's what you've heard me refer to it before as gospel math. You know, it's not the 1 + 1 = 2 math of grade school. It's the math that says, the more I give away, the more I receive. The more I love, the more I am loved. The more grace and blessing builds in my life as I share it with you. Now, that doesn't mean that's why I do it. But that's the reality. The more that you share God's blessing, the more you come to know the blessings of your life. It's confusing at first. It's a hard place to operate from. It's not intrinsically where we go. It's not intuitively how we think. Because if I have, you know, a box of cereal and a carton of milk, and I devour them all, they're gone. But we're not talking about a box of cereal and a carton of milk. We're talking about the grace and blessing, the forgiveness of a loving God. And back to that issue of deserve. You know, I've used this example before, but it's been long enough ago that hopefully you don't remember. A number of years ago, there was a Lexus ad that this guy's driving down the road, and he's the guy who buys luxury cars on TV, right? He's in his mid to late 40s. He's well-dressed, well-coiffed, you know, very confident, and he's driving down the road, and he's having this inner dialogue about how much he loves his new car and how hard he's worked and how much he deserves it. The tagline was something to that effect. You know, you've worked for it. You deserve it. The very first time I saw that ad, I thought to myself, does that mean the guy who doesn't have a car, the woman who can't afford to feed her children without help, the person who needs to get their car fixed because they can't get a new one, does that mean somehow or another they're not deserving? This is where I have trouble with the word deserve. He worked hard for his money. He probably has a great education. He's, you know, busted his rear end at work 90 hours a week. Yeah, he's earned the car. But that's different. We need to get away from this idea of scarcity that says there's only so much. And come to a fuller understanding of the abundance of God. Now let's get back to the cereal and the carton of milk for a second. There really is an abundance. There is an abundance of food in this world. The only thing we're really lacking, one, is water. Water's a real issue, but that's another time for another conversation for another day. And the other one is distribution. And the problem with distribution is what? It's about will. It's about will. Is it, I don't want to get too far of a tangent, but here I go. When we approach what we do we do it because others will live because we do it? Or do we do it because it makes a profit? Now, if you don't make a profit, you can't do it. I understand. I actually have an education in this nonsense. But it's about will. It's about what's in your heart. It's about living into that life of abundance and how it's not only just about God's grace and God's blessing, but it's about what you do with the stuff you got. It's about what you do with the time you've been given. It's about what you do with the relationships that you have. What is the lesson that people learn by being around you? One of my favorite lines in this gospel. Am I not allowed to do with what is mine? Can't you just see him going, I don't understand your problem. You got what I told you I'd give you. Why do you begrudge the other for me giving them just as much? You didn't get gypped. And what's that follow-up line? Oh, are you jealous because I'm generous? That's a really interesting phrase. Are you jealous because I'm generous? I don't know. I suspect it's exactly what it looks like on face value. The folks who came early in the day thought they deserved more than the folks who came at the end of the day. And they did. They worked a longer day. They worked in the heat of the day. They produced more, we'll assume. But that's not the point. The point is, at the end of the day, the guy who paid them gave everybody what they thought they were going to get or more. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. When we open our hearts, open our imaginations, open our lives to God, the flood is unbelievable. The amount of love that we come to know. I'm not done. He's like, yeah, you are. He just thought I was. So did you about 5 minutes ago, right? You know better than that. But, you know, okay, let's take his advice. It's not about holding on to what God has given us. It's about sharing it so that we may know it more fully. Today we're going to do two different things that baptisms, we do normally do them, but two special things, okay? The first, come here. Oh. Oh. Let's get you all straightened out there. There you go. All right. We are going to baptize this little boy. And we are going to welcome him into this community that we have. Now, he doesn't know anything about selfishness. He will in about 6 months, but right now he doesn't. All he knows is abundance. The abundance of his parents' love, the abundance of his parents' ability to feed him, which you look like you've done plenty of. You know, there's a reason why Jesus used children as an example. Because they're not encumbered with all the nonsense that we are. So today we're going to baptize a child, a little boy who's very good. Thank you very much. Which one of you can I pick up? No. Okay, all of you stand up. All of you stand up. Okay, if you're in the confirmation program, stand up. Anybody in the confirmation program in the choir? Stand up. Okay. I think that's almost everybody. We may be missing one or two people. But today what we're going to do is our confirm, not conform program is starting. And we're going to ask these guys, these boys and girls, to make a commitment, a promise in front of us to fully engage themselves in the program. Right?
Right,
yeah. To fully engage themselves in the program. And we as a parish are going to promise them to do the same. To listen to them. To answer their questions. To not tell them things that they don't want to know, so to speak. This is about their exploration, not about us imparting wisdom. Sit down. It's about their opportunity, us helping them to have an opportunity to explore God's grace, to explore the gifts that God has so beautifully and lavishly heaped upon these guys and girls. I know every one of them and have known most of them a long time, some all their lives. It's a pretty amazing group of kids. We would be very, very wise to open our eyes, to open our ears, and to open our hearts to what they experience. Because in that, we will also come to experience God's love, God's grace, and God's blessing. Amen. All right. Before the hymn starts, any kids who want to come down and help with the baptism, choir, come on. The other kids are coming in. Okay, guys. Okay. I want every child who's under 5 feet plus Nora to come downstairs. And everybody else is going to stand up.